900 class, from 900 to 1,000, and therefore I'm just going to teach you doctrines that are relative to that. And then on the down the middle, you others, of course, have already heard this, but you'll have to hear it again, and so on. Can't do it. So I just got to go over it and over it and over it, and that's why you have to keep coming to class, because you never know when 2, 3, 4, 5, on through 32 is going to be taught. Sometimes I'll cover 5 and 6 categories that all relate together, and frame of reference is that ability for you to lock in all these bits of information. Then, of course, it is permanently stored under the second section that we studied, and that's memory center. Memory center, for example, brings out 32 and relates it to 31 and to 30, 29, 28, 27, 26, and so on, going all the way back to 1. If you don't have 1, relax. 1 through 10 might be considered the foundational or basic doctrines. 11 through 25, the ones that the basic doctrines build upon, with, of course, vocabulary and so on. Which leads us to the third area, which is vocabulary storage. This is where you begin to take words that we use here, technical terms, such as justification, propitiation, expiation, reconciliation, all of which are found in God's Word, redemption, and they all should have with them then the third, or rather the fourth category, which is categorical storage. This is simply the vocabulary word. Vocabulary word such as expiation. All right, we studied this actually on Sunday evening. We had it during communion. There are two areas that expiation covers. It removes the penalty as well as the guilt of sin. And therefore, we can say that we have been expiated. I think that anything that is worth anything must have with it language that accommodates in the technical sense. As I've suggested over and over again, in music, you just don't say, hit that note that sounds something like, you know. No, when a person sits down to play any instrument, generally the music is written for that instrument. If you have sheet music in front of you that is written for a clarinet, it's going to be played in what? Generally. Yeah, but what key, what signature, the easy one? E flat, right? Not B flat, excuse me. If you're playing an E flat saxophone, you see my point though. Wouldn't it be awful if there was no signature, there was nothing in the register, nothing. All you have was a bunch of dots and squiggles and so on. It'd be horrible. And then people who know music, for example, know what this stands for. They know what that stands for. Right? These are technical terms. And that's vocabulary. So when the person sight reads as they're going along, and they see something like this, is it a couple of dots or a dot? Couple of dots? All right? They know that means what? To what? Thank you. I didn't know. I've seen it repeatedly. Now I know. Well, I didn't. It's obvious I don't read music. I play with my ears. And it's difficult, let me tell you. It's very difficult because, boy, I get headaches. You know, like occasionally I try to play the piano and I got them. And there are those, of course, that play by ear and those that play by music. I have seen over the years, personally, that those that play by music are more restricted, unless they're really accomplished, whereas those that play by ear are generally very, very flexible. They throw in the wrong notes, and they don't know what we call in Greek dromo, which is the path, the actual, the type of music that it is, with a certain beat and certain chords and certain notes must go with other notes. If they don't, You've got somebody sitting there going, and I've heard many a person lean over to me and say, you know, he's pretty good, but he's got to learn his dromo, his pathways. All right, so that's in music. In mechanics, the same thing. You don't say, give me a wrench that's about, that big. Or walk up to the nut, you know, and put your two fingers alongside of it and then walk to your tool. Walk to your toolbox and then go, let's see, this one's close. No, as a matter of fact, a good mechanic eventually can just look at it and tell you what it is. And since we only have two thread sizes in the United States, it's either NF or NC, which is National Fine or National Coarse. It's got to be one or the other. And every so often, you get an oddball because somebody forced a pipe bolt into something. And, of course, it doesn't work very well. But again, technical language. Whatever field you're in, there's technical language. Lawyers, police officers. They had something rather funny at the graduation for those of you that were there. The judge that was speaking, remember, he told the people what the suggestion was on the part of police officers when they either made out their reports or gave testimony, that they have to forget some of their jargon, okay? And some of the jargon is not fit to repeat. That it's kind of general. All criminals are called by a certain thing, generally speaking, depending upon the department. Most police departments refer to a part of the human anatomy. Other departments refer to creatures. Others refer to individual items that are necessarily identified with parts of the human body, and so on. For instance, DPS, they call criminals maggots. Okay? And so you give yourself, it's a technical, and it has to do with its technical term. Well, it conveys a lot. Here comes a maggot, see? And you know it's not a fly that has hatched eggs. All right, vocabulary storage then, categorical storage. That's when you take the vocabulary and place it into storage under its categorical heading, and then you have category after category after category. Some of you may not know this, but my children and their respective spouses gave me a CD-ROM for my birthday, and so I hooked it up. Matter of fact, they gave it to me at after Bible class Sunday evening, and I couldn't wait for them to leave. I enjoy their company, but I wanted to get right to it, and they were all gone by about, 11:15, 11:30. By 12:10, I had it in and running and operating, and it's absolutely phenomenal. Why? Because I have one disc that has an entire encyclopedia on it. And I can just look up anything under any circumstance. And if that person that I'm looking up is noted for having made a great speech, then I just simply hit picture, and his picture comes on the screen. And then I hit voice and active, and then he starts to speak. And the whole thing starts in famous speeches by famous people. And it's really great. You bird lovers, you may want to come over. I've got about 15, 16 different bird calls. But it's absolutely amazing. Well, how's it set up? It's all set up categorically. And generally, of course, vocabulary and categorical storage, the easiest way to set anything up is either numerically or alphabetically. And this is alphabetical. Or you can just simply hit with the pointer of the mouse one section. It tells you to type in the topic that you want. It brings that topic up, and then it'll give you all the information that's relative to that topic. On one stinky little CD, over 500 megabytes of information. Absolutely phenomenal. And it was free, so I was glad to get that one. Others that I looked at yesterday when I was in the store, I trembled. Some of them are as high as $500 and $600. I got out of there as fast as I could, I was glad to get out of there with a 3495 item. Categorical storage then. Now, having even said that, CD-ROM, all right? Those of you that know computers, ROM is short for what? Read only memory, okay? You can't write to a CD-ROM. You can only read from it, extract information from it. It's not like a hard drive. Hard drives, you're supposed to be able to do both, read and write. Same with floppies. I say floppy, that can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. Couldn't it? Sure. Vocabulary, see, and unfortunately, the terms that are used in the Word of God are very distinct, and there are no words that mean the same thing, generally speaking, like we have in English. Very few homonyms. Synonyms, yes, but homonyms. What are homonyms? Third grade class. A homonym is a word that sounds like another but has a different meaning, like red and red. Huh? I read the book. The color is red. And yet, here's a good one for you. Red is R-E-A-D, and read is R-E-A-D. And our kids are supposed to learn the language. And read is also R-E-E-D, R-E-D-E, R-E-A-D, R-I-E-D. Poor kids. If they learn Greek, it'd be simple. For some of you. I said kids. I didn't say people whose mind has become stale. All right, so we have then category storage. That's when you simply take that category under its vocabulary heading and now begin to feed in some data so that you can have more than just simply terms like go around saying, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, yeah, expiation. You know, like if you know a little about painting, right? You walk into an art gallery and all you have to do is say, you know, stick your thumb out and say, oh, what feeling, what depth, what emotion. What? And the guy says, hey, that's my coat. Yeah. Hanging on a hanger, and he thought it was, I've seen that on television, so I'm stealing that from someone. All right, categorical storage, then, is the basis for the classification of Bible doctrine. Technical concepts, categorical information, in any area of life. And you see, it works together with the recall part of Memory Center, as well as the vocabulary part of Memory Center, as well as the frame of reference part of Memory Center. At first, you have very little information in your frame of reference. And therefore, you can come to class and you can hear some profound teaching where vocabulary is used, but you're unable to properly categorize it because you don't have enough information yet. So don't feel bad. I've had people come in, they sit down, they've learned a little bit, just a little, and then they quit coming because they said, it's just too much for me. I'm older. I wasn't a good student to begin with. That has nothing to do with it. Under the filling of the Spirit, He becomes your teacher. But He cannot teach you with something that you don't already have. Remember? The Holy Spirit will recall to your remembrance those things that you have, what class? Learned. And how do you learn them? Day after, week after, week after, year after, year after, decade after, and so on. An entire lifetime. I study the Word of God and study and study and study, and every time I do, a new category is enhanced. I trust at this point in my ministry, after 30-some-odd years, that I've got all the categories. But then every so often, a new technical term is thrown in. For example, when the colonel was here, he got up and said, and the flat line of the soul. Oh, boy. There's a new one. Because he's a genius with terms. And since he has this wealth of knowledge regarding categories, both militarily and otherwise, he can fit all of that stuff in there. I got something from him recently that he autographed for me. And at the bottom, he's got 5 Latin words. I don't have the foggiest idea. I have no frame of reference regarding Latin, with the exception of those that were regarding law. You know, and I know non compos menus and stupidus, and, you know, things like that. You know, jerkus and the headus, and, you know, terms that are... Now, I guess if you put a U.S. or an A.S. after the word, that makes it Latin. Or if you call one something, he must be Latin. All right, so you have then... You missed that one. C.S., categorical storage. This category now simply comes in as vocabulary, but now it has a definition. Not only does it have a definition, but it has an application. Why is it necessary for you or for me to know what expiation is in God's Word? Because we no longer have to walk around with the guilt of sin. It's done, it's finished, it's gone. It's been paid for. And therefore, we can rejoice, especially when we come together as we did on Sunday evening, and celebrate the Lord's Supper. Thank God for our being expiated. And then justification. Why is that an important phrase? Because that's a judicial term. That's a term whereby we have been set free. We were captives to sin. We were enslaved by the sin nature. Now we've been set free. Well, that's very important. And for those of you that remember those three Greek words that we studied, litro, remember? The highest of the form. Ergazo, exergazo, litro. Ergazo means to buy. Exergazo means to buy out of. And litro means literally to buy, to carry out of the market of sin, and then to release the individual as a free man. You see, in ancient times, when somebody was bought at the slave market, he belonged to the one who bought him. Simple enough. But when our Lord takes us into the family, he doesn't say, I bought you, I own you, you have no freedom. Uh-uh. He says, I bought you, I own you, and that's why we have the phrase, what, know ye not that you're bought with a price? See? You're not your own, therefore. Now here, of course, is the application. Glorify God in your bodies. Which belong to whom, by the way? Him. He bought us. But does he impose that upon us? No. What does he want? He wants willing subjects. And so there's that act of coming to him willingly and saying, here, my Lord, use me. The Lord doesn't beat you with a stick to get you to perform. You may feel like it sometimes, but that's only because he's trying to get your attention. So by comparing Scripture with Scripture, certain subjects then are covered, and sometimes even from varying viewpoints. You will find that a lot of these doctrines interrelate. They collate, in fact, with each other. There's a co-relationship between all of the basic doctrines. As a matter of fact, when you put the whole package together of the barrier, all of the five or six that constitute it, what is the result under one heading? Reconciliation. And you see, unfortunately, in a lot of churches, they really cheapen profound doctrines of the Word of God. Reconciliation is not, you know, you're kind of going through life and then all of a sudden you say, oh, I think I'll turn to God. Some even have it so confused where they have God turning their back on man and man turning his back on God, and reconciliation reconciles the two back together, almost like you had a mediator, Jesus Christ, and he calls the two together and says, now look, you're offended and you're offended, let's get together. God has never turned his back on anyone except his Son on the cross. But as far as man is concerned, he's always looking at man, desiring that he might have fellowship with him. That's not the purpose for our existence, you understand. Why does man exist? Why was man created? Don't ever say so that God can have fellowship with him. That's sheer nonsense. You say, why is it sheer nonsense? That subjects God to the creation of man. In fact, then God has a need. And what is his need? Fellowshipping with Superman. You really think he needed us? You think he had to create Adam and Eve? You think he had to create any of those of us? And that means all of us. You know, he could have snuffed us out right off the bat. You know, you are at one point in your life, you're just some microscopic thing. You just, you know, flip it off, see? It's the end of that. It's gone. No. What is the purpose? Say, so that man could glorify God. Oh, so that he needed man to glorify him, huh? These are all the answers you'll hear, generally speaking, by people who don't understand anything about the Word of God. No, man was created to resolve a conflict. A conflict that existed long before man existed. And it was an angelic conflict. And a lower creature was created to prove to the higher creation that salvation was reasonable. Because Satan rejected it. And all that had to happen was one human being would accept the message of salvation, and that would have resolved it. And thank God he didn't end it there. You know, two things that we ought to be thanking God for all the time. One, that God didn't restore the nation of Israel at the prophetic time that was originally announced. And secondly, that he didn't stop at Adam and Eve. Of course, if he had stopped at Adam and Eve, there'd have been no Israel. All right, let's say now he establishes his nation Israel. All right, they waver, they flounder, they fail. He could have just said at that point, that's it. Why go any further with this thing? I'm fed up. Anthropomorphically speaking and anthropopathically speaking. See, they're not two beautiful technical terms. Anthropopathism. Anthropomorphism. To ascribe to God human characteristics. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro on the face of the earth. The Lord was grieved that he had made man. Does God ever grieve? No. But that's the only way we can understand it. We have to put terms into human vocabulary so that we can identify that somehow with God. When we get there, by the way, we're going to have a whole new language. A whole new language. There isn't any language that is suitable for heaven. None. Not even Greek. I had some pastor friends of mine and some professors. They were convinced that Greek was the language of heaven. No way. No way. It's a good one. I have to admit, it's the better of the languages. But why not French? Why not Spanish? Why not a combination of Spanish, Italian, a little German, no Latin, and a lot of Greek? Isn't it strange how a language can die like Latin? Nobody goes around speaking it today. They just write notes to people that don't understand what they're writing. If it had been anybody else, I'd have said he was showing off, but I don't say that. In Proverbs 2:2, make your ear concentrate on wisdom, and this is where we left off last time. Apply your right lobe to understanding. Make your ear to concentrate is exactly what it means. You have to make your ear to concentrate. It's a matter of determination to learn. Do you ever notice that some students never learn? You know why? It's not the teacher is a bad teacher. The student is a bad student. And I know some of you teachers really feel frustrated, and some of you get up there in front of the class, you know, and you think to yourself, I'm not cutting it at all. No, they're not cutting it. Of course, if you got up there and spoke in a foreign language, that may be a problem. But if you're speaking language they understand, all they have to do is concentrate. How many times have you teachers had to say to your students, are you paying attention? Or it was obvious to you they weren't. One of the ways in which I helped you here, having experienced the old building. The old building had windows. Okay? There's another reason to get rid of them. Windows. Anything that has the name windows just bothers me. Anyway, windows. And so we used to have a stable across the street. Now, I'm going way back now. This is about 25 years ago. And they didn't have any place to ride their horses. Well, we had 10 acres to ride. Okay? The five here and then the five behind us, which is now a development. But when we first came here, and so they used to cross over the canal on that little wooden bridge we had out there, and they'd come, blip, 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 blip. Well, here are the people sitting there, right? They're looking at me, and all of a sudden, brim, brim, brim. And so I used to have to say from time to time, all right, everybody, look at the horsey. And then they get mad at me, see, because I was insulting them. You ever notice the tie-ups on the freeway? Because everybody wanted to stop and gape, rubberneck. They want to know why that a light is flashing orange. And the poor guy's in the bushes peeing. Who knows what he's doing? He's a worker on the highway. He's got to relieve himself. And I go. So traffic slows down for 10 miles. And you finally get there and you say, what was it that, you know, you're looking for a 9-car pileup and so on. Here's some poor guy coming out and he's all red-faced, you know, all embarrassed. Because everybody's slowing down, wanting to know what this utility truck or whatever kind with a little orange light going. It happened to me yesterday. Going on the road, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, no reason to have a back. We're backed up. So, you know, and I see this red light, orange light going. And I said, orange doesn't mean stop and get out and gape. And so I went into the next row, and then I went to the next one. They all decided they wanted to slow down and just kind of. They don't know about cats, do they? And what happened about curiosity? Now, of course, there are those people that they don't know what's going on. They're just driving slow anyway. You know, you can just barely see. They have funnel vision, not tunnel vision. You know, it goes like this. But listen. Listen. When I'm teaching, you should have funneled ears. Okay? And your heart should be funneled to the voice or the sound of my voice. That's the way you learn. And I can remember dear John White. I love the man because of his student-cy. He would sit there and he'd lock in. I know he was locked in because he was just like that. And so I'd be giving point one, point two. Of course, Edna's sitting there writing away. Point, and then finally, three. He hadn't written anything. So then he's looking over and saying, you know, move your arm. To him. I think he liked tools too. But he'd concentrate. Glued. Well, now, of course, you see, he's doing a lot of concentrating. He's in the presence of the Lord. Marvelous. Proverbs 2:10, wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge of doctrine will be pleasant to your soul. But notice, it's only when that wisdom enters your heart, then it will be pleasant to your soul. Pleasant indicates the presence of the problem-solving devices. Having said that, problem-solving devices under vocabulary storage, categorical storage, each of the 10 understood so that you can apply them. Remember, you cannot apply what you don't know. You cannot apply what you haven't been taught. You cannot apply what you haven't learned. That's why a lot of Christians fail in their lives. They just sit and they hear the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Nothing new under the sun, said Solomon. The average church, nothing new. And so some people are upset because they've been saved for 10 and 15 years and they walk in here and say, I never heard any of this stuff. Good! It's about time you did. We have people that visit us. I'm still getting letters from people that visited us recently thanking God for what they got for the 2 or 3 days that they were here, wishing they could have been here longer. See, we get spoiled. You people, some of you people think that this goes on in every church every night. Oh, no, no, no. No, no. Years ago, I had a couple come to me and they said, look, you remember when you said if we visit another church, we're going to see how terrible it is? And I said, yes, you were wrong. And I said, why? It's worse than you said. The pastor got up and he made a few announcements. They sang about 9 songs. He had an hour and a half of announcements. Then Charlie Brown had a word to say, and then Donald Duck came up and he quacked for a while, and then somebody else. He had a 15-minute message. He didn't say anything. He gave an invitation afterwards. 25 minutes. They were there for 2 hours. Can you imagine the amount of doctrine I could get in 2 hours? Well, 1 hour for introduction, and then the second hour we'd get down to business. As you notice tonight, though, I'm packing it in because notice no stories yet? Well, I told one about a CD, but that was by way of application. Proverbs 15, 14, and 15. The mind of the intellect of the intelligent seeks knowledge. You claim to be intellectually intelligent, then you better seek knowledge. A good heart has a continual feast. Do you ever have so much to eat that you look at the advertisements on TV, all of the various food items that are being propagated, and it nauseates you? Huh? Never by you guys. You've learned this, I'm sure I have. Don't go shopping when you're hungry. I mean, really hungry. You'll come home with all of these little tidbit things that, you know, oh, yes, those little chippy things look good, right? Then you see those little cheesy things. Oh, here's one with nacho. And here's another one, you know, with cheddar. Oh, look at that, you know. And you haven't even gotten out of the goodies section yet. And you have a long list. I had to take some of them back. Then you go by the bread counter or the bakery and you get a whip. Oh, yes. I like this large loaf of bread. I says, what'd you do? I was hungry. But when you're full, you'll just go in there with your list and that's it. You'll just buy what you have. You'll even pass up all those goodies. Say, no, I don't need that. It's fattening. Now it's got, now look at that. Now reduce fat. Oh, it's new? New and improved? Now made with what? Blue cheese. Oh. How can anything so awful looking taste so good? And a lot of things that are awful looking and taste good. Some of them are awful looking and they taste horrible also. Proverbs 18, verse 15. The heart of the wise acquires knowledge of doctrine, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge of doctrine. So where do you go? You have first acquiring and then seeking. You got to go for it. And it is a matter of concentration. It's what's important in your life. Isn't it strange how we always tend to concentrate on those things that are most important? An example, newlyweds. What are they concentrating upon, generally speaking? Themselves, right? I know what you were thinking. Themselves. Well, that's a subcategory of themselves. But they are. They are. I remember counseling years ago a young man, and he came to me and he says, my wife is, you know, she's constantly complaining about the fact that when I'm off or work, she says that I'm coming after all the time. So, yeah, she says, yeah, every time he's out of work, you know, he's chasing me around the house. You know, come on, hey, let's go to bed. 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 And so I said, well, how old are you? And I said, well, you just passed your prime. And I said, dear, for what it's worth, you know, you'll reach yours in your middle 40s. And he looked at me and he said, is there any way we can speed up the process? I said, no, that is God's sense of humor. I love it. Remember, a woman isn't a woman until she's in her 60s. No. I would say middle 40s, past that, on into the 50s, except for a few that I know, they'll never reach it. It has nothing to do with chronological age. It has to do with mental outlook.
All right, categorical storage then is the putting together of words into sentences, sentences into paragraphs, paragraphs into chapters, and chapters into books. This is probably the greatest challenge of any student, and that is your ability to read. You know, most of us read in sub-categorical fashion. You understand that. The best we ever get to, we start off with letters, right? And then we learn how to combine little one-syllable words, generally a combination of either two or three letters. First, we learn the phonetical sounds, d for d, k for cat. Remember that one? T for t, and so on. You learn phonics. We teach phonics here. It's one of the best ways to learn how to read properly. Then we go from letters to words. We even get to the point where we advance to half sentences. Half sentences. In other words, you're about 5-6 words ahead. That's no great advance. Do you know that there are people that actually read sentences? There are some people that read pages. A fourth grader is going to read words. Now, let's go back to the third grade. Here, second grade. They're going to read words. For example, they're going to read like this. Hebrews 10:1. For the law, and they're looking right at the word what? Law. Since it has only a shadow of the good things to... It's very hard for me to do it, because I want to go to the word near at the end. Right? Well, wouldn't it be marvelous? Think about Bible study to where you're reading verses. In other words, you just go, pop, 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 pop. Kennedy used to read paragraphs. Paragraphs. They said he could read the entire New York Times in less than 10 minutes. With retention now. I'm not talking about just going... and say, I read it. And some of you, when you read, you're not even accurate. Which shows sloppy habits in reading. In other words, you'll go past a word and you'll read it for something else. Do you ever see that paragraph that says, pick out all of the certain words that are in it? And most people miss half of them. Shows you they're not very accurate in their reading. It's a part of reading comprehension. It's one of the reasons why I personally like to blow up whatever, by blow up I mean not boom. There's your language again, blow up, see? Now, make the letters larger. Not only can I see them when I'm back here, see, if I do this, right? Oh, he looks nice and clear. You know, this is only cosmetic, you understand, I don't need them. I do now, though, when I'm looking this way. Otherwise, I just see a big blank page. So we go from sentences to paragraphs, paragraphs to pages and pages. Well, no one's going to go, yes, God. No, not quite. Not quite. But conceivably, you could actually take the Word of God and read it by verses. Just like you would words, because you started off with letters. Isn't it strange? And some of you are sitting there saying, nah. That's what a child says when they see A, B, C, D. Right? Read that word. And they start in. Here's one. Continue. That's phonetical. Continue. Alley. Continually. Continually. There it is. See? Huh? Teachers, right? I've been there. It's where they are. Of course, some of you are still going, continue. I love this one. Here, see if you can figure this one. Consciousness. Hey, that's a kid trying to do it. Have you done that? I know you do that with the Greek language. You're reading Greek, those of you that can make out the letters, and you go, you start singing. And then I walk in and I say, Adelphimu. Oh, that's it, Adelphimu. F kara ker har her F Charisto. Oh, okay, that's it. F Karis. That's why they pronounce it Bible school pronunciation. It's so much easier. So much easier to say sunadesis. Right? What is sunadesis? It's synadesis, which is the conscience of the soul. Eventually, the greatest problem in spiritual adulthood is resolved by categorical application. The name of the Christian life is application of what you've learned. And that's why so many Christians flounder. They know a handful of verses. All right, they've gone to Sunday school. They've memorized verses, but they don't know what they mean. What does that verse mean? Well, I don't know. I had a guy years ago came to me and he said, you know, I'm so glad that you taught on 1 John 1:9. He says, now I know how to use it. I always thought all you had to do was quote it. See, some mystical thing would occur. And he used to quote the verse instead of using it. Use it. Apply it. And live in its application. See, that's the balance of James and the Apostle Paul. Paul is the categorical, analytical mind, establishing all of the lines and the doctrines and the principles and the subcategories and the sub-subcategories and the directories under the subdirectories, etc., etc. And then James comes along and says, oh, you say you have all that? Huh? You have all that doctrine, all that faith? Let me see it. And if I don't see it, I can only conclude one thing. What's that? You don't have it at all. That's the summary of the book of James. Tomorrow night, we begin with the word synadesis, the conscience. That's an integral part of your heart. This, of course, you probably heard the word consensia, which is Latin for what? Joint knowledge, joint understanding. Synadesis is translated conscience. Conscience means to know with, or better yet, to have a standard regarding something. You'll find that your norms, the standards of your life, are based on what's in your conscience. Just tonight, for example, they were trying to show why and how come, and they couldn't imagine why, this guy got away with after taking all these polygraphs. CIA. You know how easy it is to pass a polygraph if you have no conscience? See? If you have maximum scar tissue built on your soul to where your conscience has been seared, you can pass any polygraph. As a matter of fact, to throw them off, what they do is they purposely put tacks in their shoes. So when a truth is asked, they'll push on the tack, all right, which causes the body to react and send a signal which says, in effect, this guy is telling a lie, but he's actually telling the truth. So it confuses the polygraph reader, and he never knows when you're telling the truth or telling a lie. It has to do with two things. Breathing and heartbeat. And anyone that's smart can control both under maximum pressure. It's called control breathing. You ever try to concentrate to slow your heart down? You can. You can also speed it up. Well, let's say you're in a polygraph. You're all hooked up. Question is asked. Just relax. Breathe normally instead of going, what? See? Mr. Peepers would never pass. Who's the other one? No, it wasn't Mr. Peepers. Don Knotts. You know, the guy that played Barney Google. What's his name? Barney Fife. Isn't that our governor? I try, you know. Tomorrow night, conscience. And bring your consciences with you. And I can tell people who have one and who's are about to lose them. Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, you used to ascribe that with older people who had resisted and resisted and resisted the truth. Now, it's down to the grammar school and below grammar school levels, where kids have just so harden themselves against learning and against the things of the Spirit of God. Hard little characters. You know, like little veterans there in your kindergarten room. Yeah, I know. Boom. See? Little criminals. What is a criminal, by the way? That's all a criminal is. No conscience. In Greek, we call it krima. It's hard to translate. It literally means you can do something and walk away from it and you have no krima. Give me a word. Remorse is the closest. For instance, when the Bible calls the young bride a woman with shamefacedness, what a beautiful term. You know what that means? She's tender. Number one, she's still a virgin. And if she hears anything that would cause her to blush, she'd blush. Today, to get a woman to blush, you got to put it on her face. Remember the sayings in ancient Rome? I quoted it on Sunday. Are there any virgins left? We're getting back to that. Conscience, very important. We'll see you tomorrow night. Thank you, Father, for the time together. Dismiss us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. I kept you just a little.